Tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha, which is Parshas Tazria Metzora, and it is titled, Is It Better to Have a Boy or a Girl? Now, tonight's shiur is going to be about different reactions of having a baby boy versus a baby girl, and it's going to be a philosophical at the beginning of the shiur, but at the end of the shiur, I want to take up a more of a halachic point that emerges, I think, from this week's parsha. We'll take it up from the very beginning of the Parsha. It's Vayikra Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Aleph. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Daber el Bnei Yisrael Lemor Isha ki Sazria v'yalada Zachar v'tam'a shivasamim ki mei nidas devosah titma. So when a woman conceives and she gives birth to a baby boy, she becomes tamei for 7 days, just like she is when she's a nida. That's what happens. Uvayom hashmini yumol bisar olaso. And on the 8th day, the boy has a mila, bris mila. Okay, so for a boy, it's 7 days of tama, and then there is the bris. Ushloshim yom ushloshis yomim teshev bidme tahara. And then for 33 days, she remains with blood of tahara, which means that she's technically mutter to her husband. But she's not allowed to touch Hekdesh, and she can't go into the Mikdash until she becomes Tahor. And that's 33 days after the 7 days. And if she gives birth to a girl, then she becomes Tame for 14 days. And then for 66 days, she has Dam Tahor. And then at the end, in Vav, it says, at the end of the days of her purity, whether it's for a boy or a girl, Tavi keves ben shnasol le'ola, she brings a korban, an ola, uven yona usor l'chatas, she brings a sheep for an ola, and she brings some birds for a chatas korban, el pesach olmoed el hakohen. Okay? Let's just do two more psukim, finish off the area. V'hikrivu lifnei Hashem v'chiper aleha. So she brings the korban and she gets atonement for it. V'tahara me'mekor dameh, and then she's completely tahor. Zos Torah sayoledes lazachar nekeva. This is the Torah for a woman who gives birth to whether it's a boy or a girl. And then at the end, v'imlosim tzayadad deiseh. Let's say she can't afford to bring a sheep. V'lachash deisarim moshtei bnei yona echad le'olav echad lechatas v'chiper alei kohen v'tahira. Then she can bring birds instead of a sheep. To summarize. If a woman gives birth to a boy, she's tamei for 7 days, and then she has to wait another 33 days, bitahara, even though she's bleeding, and then she brings a korban. And if it's a girl, so her toma is 14 days, and it's also for her to be with her husband, just like when she's a nida, and her dmei tahara is 66 days, and then she has to bring a korban in both cases. So what are some of the questions that emerge from these psukim? The one question, I think... Yes. Go ahead. Ask, please.
Please.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, obviously, why is there a difference between a boy and a girl?
Okay, good. So one question is, what is the difference between a boy and a girl? Why is it that the time of Toma for a boy is less than the time of Toma for a girl? And it's also longer for a girl, the Dmei Tahara, as opposed to a boy. So what's the difference? Why not be consistent and have the same period of time for both? So a good question. Any other questions? Yeah.
One more.
Yes.
Sorry. I think it's interesting that there's a prescribed amount of age for all these things, even though within each person it could be different.
Okay, good.
In terms of how long someone bleeds. Like, it's interesting that there's a prescribed amount.
Okay, good question. Okay, what else? Anything else? So another question is, why bring the korban? It says in Zion, v'ikrivu lifnei Hashem v'chiper aleha, that she gets atonement. So what exactly is her sin? Why does she bring a korban? What is she getting atonement for, right? So the two main questions I want to take up are, what is the difference between a boy and a girl vis-a-vis the Tumas Hayoledes? And the second question is, why does she need to bring a korban as atonement? Those are the two main questions. So now we come to a Gemara that takes up both questions, and it's a very interesting Gemara, intriguing Gemara, and at face value, it seems very strange. So let's read through the Gemara. It's Gemara Maseches Nida, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, and it begins with Shalu Talmidav Es Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. So the students of Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai asked him a question. Mipnei ma amra Torah yoledes mevia korban. Why did the Torah say that a woman, when she gives birth at the end, you know, after all the days of counting, she has to bring a korban? Amar lahen, his answer is bisha shekoraas leled. When she's in the throes of a childbirth, she's kneeling down to give birth. Kofetzes v'nishbat shilotizakek lebala. She makes an impetuous swear. She impetuously swears that she will never be with her husband again. Because of the pain of childbirth, she never wants to be with her husband in order to have more children. Lefichach amra Torah tavi korban. And therefore, the Torah says that she should bring a korban because her shvua is a false shvua, or it's an impetuous shvua, and she needs to bring a korban as a kapara for this type of shvua. Okay? So the Gemara asks, let's look at Rashi, number 3. Lefichach tavi korban, shvuas bitoi chatas, when you swear in a useless manner, so you have to bring a chatas. And eventually she's going to want to return to her husband, and this swear is a useless swear, a shvuas bitoi, therefore she has to bring a korban to atone for the swear that she made. So maskif lo Rav Yosef objected, v'ha mezidahi. He brings a number of questions. One is that she did it purposefully. And if you look in Rashi, number 3, the second line, it says, mezidahi v'ein kan korban d'ha v'nelam k'siv b'shvuas bitoi. So you don't have a korban when you do it purposefully, because v'nelam, which means that it was secret, that it wasn't b'mezid, is written by shvuas bitoi. So this type of shvuas bitoi, when it's purposeful, when she knows what she's doing, doesn't demand a korban. Uvacharata talia milsa. And another factor is that it's totally, it's dependent on her regret. And if you look in Rashi, liftoach la b'charata, she just has to regret her shvua, v'yatir la chacham shvuasa. And then she can go to a chacham, and her shvua, her vow, can be undone. Aval korban eino okir umatir shvuasa. But bringing a korban isn't going to do anything. It's not going to undo her shvua. So he's asking questions as to why bring a korban. V'od, and furthermore, korban shvua bai isuye. And furthermore, look in Rashi, the fourth line, korban shvua bai isuye, kispa o si'ira v'hai ofu. You can't bring, for a shvuas bitoi in general, you can't bring a bird as a korban, but here the Torah is saying you can bring birds as korbanos. So he has a number of questions, and for some reason the Gemara doesn't answer the questions. The Gemara just goes on and ignores these questions, and let's finish the Gemara, and then we'll come back and summarize. And furthermore, why did the Torah say that when a woman gives birth to a boy, it's only 7 days of Tumah, but for a girl, when she gives birth to a girl, it's 14 days? Okay, Zachar Shakol Smechimbo Mischaretas L'Shiva. So by a male, everybody's happy with it, and therefore she only regrets her oath after 7 days. It takes her 7 days to realize that her oath was a bad oath, and that she really wants to be with her husband and have more children. Nekeva, but by a girl, shakol atzavimba, everybody's upset. Mischaretas l'arbasar. So the regret is after 14 days. So she, after 14 days, she regrets the shvua that she made, and she wants to be with her husband again. Okay, that's the end of the Gemara. And if you look at the last line of Rashi, mischaretes l'shiva umisave l'tashmish bala kedei shetachzor v'tisaber zachar. So after 7 days, she's going to want to be back with her husband in order that she get pregnant and have a boy. Okay? So let me just summarize the Gemara. So the Gemara says two things. One is, why does she bring a korban, which is an answer to our question, and to our question above. The Gemara answers that she makes a shvua that she doesn't want to be with her husband anymore because of the pain of childbirth. And this shvua she regrets later on. She has to bring a korban for making this useless shvua. And the second idea that the Gemara is saying is, what is the difference between a boy and a girl? Apparently by a boy, everybody's happy, and only after 7 days does she regret making the oath, and then she's no longer, she can be with her husband. But by a girl, everybody's upset, and therefore, it takes 14 days for her to regret her oath, and that's the difference. That's what the Gemara is saying the difference is. Now, what is problematic about this Gemara? What is bothersome about this Gemara?
Everybody's upset because it was a girl and not a boy?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of strange to say that everybody's upset that you're having a girl. I mean, maybe there are different emotions for a boy and a girl, but to say that everybody's upset. And furthermore, any other questions on the Gemara?
Well, why were all those questions answered?
Do you accept the answer? I'm saying, do you accept this answer? That everybody's upset when a girl's born?
No. Not upset.
Okay, so you don't accept the answer, so we have to understand what the answer means. I'm just asking on the answer to the Gemara.
I have another question also.
Yeah.
Do you still have to bring the carbon?
If what? Say it again.
Hello?
Yeah, what's your question?
Let's say you did not make...
Good question. That was the second question. Good question. The question is, let's say you don't make the oath. Why is the Torah prescribing a korban for every single woman? Let's say you don't make the oath, then why should you bring a korban? So that's the second question. So we have two questions on the Gemara itself and what the Gemara means. One is, which I find to be more strange and interesting, why does the Gemara say that everybody's upset by a girl, but everybody's happy by a boy? And the other question is, what happens if a woman doesn't make the Shavuah? Why should she bring a korban? And it sounds like from the Gemara that the korban is prescribed for every woman who gives birth. So those are the two main questions. Okay?
Well,
yeah.
Does it have to, like, it seems like maybe it's not necessarily about the Shavuah, but maybe just like a natural thing that women might feel that way, and then therefore we need a korban. I'm not sure why. But I don't think it's about
okay.
It's a natural process. If you're giving birth, that's like a reaction to giving birth.
Okay, good. So what Debbie is saying is that the Gemara seems to be pointing out an intrinsic idea in giving birth that exists in every woman, and it's some type of flaw that comes out in birth and childbirth and is expressed through maybe not a technical Shavua, but it's expressed in childbirth. So that's a good approach.
I don't know if it's a flaw.
Well, why do you bring a korban? And why does she need kapara? The Torah says in Zion, in Pasuk Zion, v'yikrivu lifnei Hashem v'chiper alav, that she needs atonement.
Okay.
So there must be some type of flaw there. So the question is, what is that flaw? So let's go to the Maharsha. And the Maharsha gives a very interesting idea, and we're going to explore the Maharsha a little bit deeper. In number four, it's the Maharsha on the same Gemara. He says, Zachar Shakol Smechimbo. He's explaining the difference between a girl and a boy. Ayin Pirish Rashi. So first he says, look in Rashi. Rashi doesn't really give a reason. He just explains that after 7 days, when she's done regretting her oath, she regrets her oath. She still doesn't regret her oath within the first 7 days, meaning she's happy not being with her husband and she doesn't want to have more children. But after 7 days, she wants to have more children again. Ve'od Yesh Lomar, Kevan Shemekalelas Isha, He tsar leda, since the curse of a woman is the pain of childbirth, kamasha kasav, as it says in the Torah, be'etzev teldi banim, that a woman will be in pain or have sadness in giving birth to children. Benolad zachar hakol smechem shelo yelo zehatsar, when a boy is born, everybody's happy because he won't have this pain. Umischaretes l'shiva. And therefore, she only regrets after 7 days. So it takes less time for her to regret her oath. Nekeva, but by a woman, a girl, a baby girl, shakol atzavim, everybody's upset. Shia gam lot sar leda mischaretes yudalid, because a baby girl, immediately when she's born, it's apparent that she will go through the sar leda as well. She will have the same pains of childbirth. There's some type of... It takes longer for the mother to regret her oath. So it's a strange answer of the Maharsha. But at least the Maharsha is saying, I think, an interesting idea. And just to summarize what he's saying that the difference is that with a boy, when a boy is born, there is no concept of the pain of childbirth. But with a girl, even when a baby girl is born, the pain of childbirth is more obvious and more open. And there's some type of depression there. There's some type of sadness there. And it takes longer for a woman to get over it in order to want to have more children. But I don't find this answer satisfying. And I think the Maharsha is actually leading us to a deeper idea, even a deeper idea. So in order to get to the deeper idea, I want to explore the concept of the pain of childbirth a little bit more. I think I don't want to take credit for the ideas that are about to be said, because I think I've heard some of them in a shiur by Rabbi Chait. Also, some of the ideas I've heard from Rav Pesach Chait. I don't know which ones, but some of them are definitely from them too, so I don't want to take full credit. But I want to go into the idea of childbirth, the pain of childbirth, and then come back to this Gemara and give more insight into the Gemara and what the Torah is doing over here. So where does the pain of childbirth come from? It comes from the curse of Chava, which is in Bereishis Perek Gimel, Pasuk Tes Zayin. It says, Ela Isha, it's source number 5. El ha'isha amar harba arba itzvonech veheronech. So to the woman, he said, Hashem said, that you will have a lot of sadness and pregnancy, be'etzev til dibanim, and with sorrow and sadness, you'll give birth to children, ve'elishech teshukasech ve'hu yimshalbach, and you will desire your husband, and he will rule over you. And what is the itzvonech and heronech a reference to, just in terms of the pshat? If you look in Rashi, number 6, he says, Itzvonech, Zetzar Gidol Banim. This is a reference to raising children, that there's a sorrow or a sadness in raising children. Veheronech, Zetzar Ibor. This is a reference to the pain during pregnancy, that when a woman's carrying the child, there's a pain there. Be'etzev Tel Dibanim, and with sadness, you should give birth to children, Zetzar Aleda. It's a reference to the pain of childbirth, itself. So there's three pains. One is raising children is tough and it's painful. The other is being pregnant is hard. And also, in the actual childbirth itself, it's very painful. But the question is, the main question is, in order to understand the nature of this curse and to help us understand the original questions and answer them, why is this punishment appropriate for Chava? How is this punishment appropriate for Chava? In terms of Mida Keneged Mida, because we're aware of the Mishpat of Hashem, and the Mishpat of Hashem is perfect, and when He provides Onshim for man, it's usually Mida Keneged Mida. So how does this Onesh relate to the Chet of Chava? And also, Onshim in general are supposed to help a person do tshuva and help fix a person. So how does this do that? So let's go into the Chet of Chava a little bit more. If we look at number 7, it's Bereishis Perek Gimel Pasuk Dalet. It's before the obviously it's before the Onshim. Vayomer Anachash Al Aisha Lomos Timusun. The Nachash is seducing Chava, and he says that if she eats from the Etadas, that she will not die. Ki Yodea Elokim Ki Biyom Acholchem Imenu V'Nifkechu Einichem V'Yisem Ki Elokim Yodei Tovara. Because Hashem knows that when you eat from this tree, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, who knows good and evil, the difference between good and evil. Vatera ha'isha ki tova etz l'ma'achal. The woman, Chava, she saw that the tree looked good to eat. V'chisava hi la'inayim. It was very desirous to the eyes. V'nechmara etz l'haskil. And it was very desirable in terms of its effect on her mind and on her ability to understand. Vatikach mirpiryo vatochal. She took from it and she ate. Vatitain gam liisha imah vayochal. And she also gave it to Adam. Now, what was so desirous of about the tree? If you look in Rashi, number 8, he says, Vatera isha rasa devarav shel nachash vahana'ula vehaminaso. So they were very pleasurable, the words of the nachash, and she believed him. Why? Kitova eitz lios kelokim. She wanted, there was a desire to be like God, and this tree would make her like God. Just like it says, your eyes will be opened. And also, the idea that she would know the difference between good and evil was very appealing. So there seems to be a desire on the part of Chava to, and I think I've mentioned this in a previous year, but there seems to be a desire of Chava to remove herself from the limitations of man and approach a more godlike status. And she's seeking that in eating from the Eta Das. And you see the Nachash knows that, and the Nachash is preying on that, not on that, because he's aware of the desires of Chava. But where did that desire come from? And we still have to understand, how did this idea of childbirth, how did it affect her, or how is it Mida Keneged Mida in terms of fixing the sin, letting her do tshuva. Okay, so where does it come from? So here, I think there's a possibility. I want to approach it, and then I want to give a proof for the possibility. Does anybody have a possibility as to where it came from? You know, where the source of Chava's desire to be godlike comes from? So I want to say a possibility that it comes from childbirth itself. Because in childbirth, in the original design of childbirth, there is an idea of creation in childbirth. When you give birth to a child, it should be an expression of you creating a being. And the Gemara says that there are three shutvim in creation. There is the woman, the mother, the father, and God. So it's an expression of creation. But in expressing creation, there is a danger, because we know that the ultimate creator, the creator of the universe, who's unique in his creation, is God. But when man experiences creation, there's a danger. There's a potential danger in experiencing creation, in that it gives man a taste of godliness, whatever. It's not the same as God's creation, but it gives man, and it strengthens his desire to rise above his status, and he's unaware of his limitations as a result of that, and he tries to go beyond his limitations. So too, I think the idea is that Chava's desire to be like God and to be godlike stemmed from her reaction to giving birth, to childbirth. And there's a clear proof for this idea in the Psukim. And I heard this idea from Rav Pesach Chait in a shir. The proof is in the name of Kayin. If we look in Bereishis, Parak Dalet, it says, V'ha'adam yada eitz chava ishto, that man knew Chava, means that he was with her, he was intimate with her, v'atahar v'atelet es Kayin. And she conceived, and she gave birth to Kayin, v'atomer, and she said, Chava said, kanisi ish es adosham, that I created man with Hashem. Now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. He says, V'adam yada, kvar kodema inyan shel mala. So this was before the whole entire experience of the Eitz Hadas, according to Rashi, because the word yada is past tense. Kodem shechata v'nitra migan eden. Before this, she gave birth to Kayin. V'chein ha'hirayon v'haleda, so too the conception and the birth. She'im kasa v'yeda adam nishma shel achar shenitrad hayulo banim. If it said v'yeda, then it would mean afterwards. But the fact that it says yada means that it was before the whole entire experience of the nachash. According to Rashi, the birth of Kayin occurred before the Nachash caused or seduced Chava into committing her sin. But the name of Kayin expresses an idea of creation. Kanisi ish esad Hashem, Kayin al shem kanisi ish esad Hashem kimo im Hashem, with Hashem. Kishabaru osi ves ishi hu levado barani aval bezesh shutvin anu imo. When we were created, Hashem created us by himself, but with regard to Kayin, we were shutvim with him. So there's an idea that when a person gives birth, when a woman gives birth, especially you see by Chava initially before the Chait, she experienced a tremendous sense of creative power. And it's not even just creation in an abstract sense, but it's creative power. Why do I say creative power? Because the name Kayin, Kana, and it says Kone Shamayim Va'aretz in Bereishis, the idea of Kinyan isn't just a reference to making something, but it's making something and acquiring it as well. We say Kinyan. Kinyan's an idea in acquisition. So the expression that Chava is using, Kanisi Isha Sad Hashem, is an idea that I am a partner with God in creation, but not just creation, but also acquisition. So it's a power, it's a creative power. So the concept of creation before the Chait, of childbirth before the Chait, it gave the woman who was giving birth a tremendous sense of power because of the fact that she was responsible in creating this being. She's a shutoff in creating this being. So now how does the onesh fit the Chait? So I think it works out very well, very nicely. You see, the very Chait of Chava was that she seeked power and she seeked out to be godlike. And that was sourced in childbirth, that the experience of childbirth, it gave her a sense of creative power. But now, when the onesh comes along, it attaches an idea of pain and sadness to the childbirth experience in order to remove that feeling of creative power. And because creative power can be used for a good, but also could be dangerous, it had to be removed. And the danger was expressed in Chava partaking of the Eitz HaDaas, eating of the Eitz HaDaas. Does that make sense? Any questions? Should I summarize it again? Debbie?
Makes sense.
Okay.
But I have one question.
Yeah, sure.
It's dangerous. Giving birth is dangerous because it can make you feel like you're the one that did it and not God?
Yes. Before the chait and before the onesh of the pain of childbirth, just giving birth to a child without pain produced a tremendous feeling of power. And you see that in the name of Kayin, Kanisi Isha Sadoshem. It's an expression of power, like kinyan means to acquire, but it also means to make. So it's to make something, but it's yours, it's mine. So she's expressing that idea in naming Kayin, that Kanisi, I made with Hashem this child. She's expressing a feeling of creation. Now, the original design of creation was that that's a good, because when a person experiences creation, it could lead them to higher and greater ideas about God. But it's also dangerous, as we see by Chava, because it drew her into committing the flaw, the chait of the Eitz HaDaas, in that she was trying to go beyond her limitations as a human being. So it's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it could be used for a good, the creative power of childbirth, but on the other hand, it could be used as a negative, as a bad. And the bad outweighed the good, and you see that Chava, she gave in to the negative emotion that it created, and it caused her to be a chote, and therefore the onesh is mida keneged mida. It's trying to fix the flaw that she has by removing, and the flaw that could be created by feeling that power. So by having pain in childbirth and sadness in childbirth, it takes away the ability of a woman to feel the same sense of creative power in childbirth.
Does it?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to... Oh.
Ask.
Doesn't a man also feel a sense of power, though?
Yes, but it's not the same.
Not actually in labor, but they're part of creation.
Yes, and there is a reality to that idea. The Gemara says that there are different shutfim. There are three shutfim in creation. But I'm talking about in childbirth itself, a man cannot feel the same. It was impossible for Adam to feel the same sense of creation or creative power as the woman, because she is much, you know, much more closely tied to the event, and you know it's coming from her. So it's more distanced by a man. By a woman, originally, in the design of creation, it was much more powerful. In fact, she's the one who names Kayin. It's not Adam. She names Kayin. It doesn't say Vayomer Kani, it says Vatomer, which is feminine. She's naming Kayin. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how do we use this idea to explain the Gemara? Or does this, because the Marsha gave us an opening. He's trying to tie in the sadness of giving birth to the Klala, to the original Klala. And somehow by giving birth to a girl, a woman, it seems like she's a little bit sadder, and it takes her longer to get out of that. But by a boy, it's not as long. So here, I think the concept is that on the one hand, as we said, the idea of the onesh, the klala, was to remove the ability of a woman to feel that creative power. But there's also a negative that comes about from the onesh, and the negative is that when a woman, and obviously I'm speaking to all women, so you can correct me if I'm making a mistake here, but when a woman gives birth, the pain of childbirth, not only does it remove the woman's ability to feel creative power, but it takes her to the opposite extreme. It makes her feel like she is just being used, like she doesn't have control over the situation. Nobody would actively pursue pain, but when you're in pain, it's almost as if you're tortured when you're in labor. It's like it's out of your control. These contractions are occurring. You're in complete pain and torture. It's as if your body is being used for this to occur. So the opposite occurs. Not only do you not feel a creative power, but you feel as if, you know, you feel as if you're being used. It's almost as if your body is being used for this experience, and you're just the kli, the vessel for this to occur. And so I think that's an idea. I think that idea is being expressed in our Gemara. Let's go back to our Gemara. The Gemara says that why does a woman bring a korban? And why does she need kapara? Because she makes a shvuas bitoy. Because she makes a shvua that she doesn't want to be with her husband, and she doesn't want to be with her husband because when she's in the pain of labor, she doesn't want to go through the experience again. Now, what is that concept? Why doesn't she want to go through the experience again? So I think if it's just the pain alone, listen, people go through painful experiences and, you know, they endure. But if you can rise above the pain of an experience and you can see past the pain of an experience. But I think there's a deeper idea in the pain. See, in the pain, it's the idea that I just stated, which is that in the pain of childbirth, when a woman's in labor, there's also an idea, a psychological idea, that she's being used. She's the opposite of an active creator, but she's passive. Not that a woman doesn't work in childbirth, but she's more passive. It's occurring to her. And there's nothing she could do. She can't stop it. She can't control it. It's happening to her, and she's in pain. It takes away her sense of power, and it gives her a sense of inadequacy, of almost like she's not a person, that this is being done to her. So that's the idea of the Shavuos Bitoy. The Shavuos Bitoy, that she doesn't want to have children anymore and that she's willing to give up on having children, doesn't come from the pain. It comes from the effect of the pain on the woman, that it transforms the woman's experience of feeling creative into one of feeling as if she's, you know, a vessel. She's just being a conduit of this birth. And that she's not active. She can't actively appreciate it, but it's the opposite. It's like she's being taken and used to bring about this child. So that's where the Shavuos Bitoy comes from. That idea, I think that's what Debbie was saying originally. See, it's not an idea in the Shavuos Bitoy. It's about where the Shavuos Bitoy comes from. The Shavuos Bitoy comes from a source. And the source of the Shavuos Bitoy is the feeling of that feeling that it's out of my control and I'm being tortured here and it's been taken out of my hands. And that exists by every single woman, even if she doesn't make the particular Shavuos Bitoy. But the Shavuos Bitoy is an expression of that. And that, although it's a result of the klala, but it is a flaw. Because it's on the one hand, a woman, it's an extreme. A woman shouldn't feel too creative. But on the other hand, a woman shouldn't feel like she's merely a vessel. But it's a byproduct of the klala. There's nothing that a woman can do about it. It happens as a result of the klala. As a result of the klala, the woman feels pain, and this is a natural result of that pain. So therefore, the Torah recognizes this reality. It recognizes that this feeling will emerge in the woman, and therefore the woman can actively work on it, and she can think about it, and she can bring a korban in order to help her do tshuva and to work on the flaw. Okay, so I think that's one idea. Now, how does that relate? Now, how do we relate this idea also to the difference between giving birth to a boy and a girl? See, it's not, the idea isn't that a woman isn't happy having children, because you see that after the 7 days or after the 14 days, she wants to have more children. She wants to be with her husband. She wants to have more children. But in the immediate, there's two aspects to the pain of childbirth. One is the childbirth itself, when she's in labor, but the other idea is after labor. There is a concept of postpartum depression that is it's a psychological reality. And after childbirth also, a woman also feels, she relates or she reflects back on the experience and she can't get that sense of creative power. And it's the opposite. She reflects back on the experience and she feels the same way. But the concept is that when you give birth to a girl versus a boy, there's an immediate identification with the child. And whenever you have a child, you always identify with the child. You look at the child as any child of yours as an expression of the self. So the concept is that in childbirth, as the woman is experiencing this depression, this sadness, this feeling of inadequacy, so she expresses it more so on the girl. This idea is expressed and it related and applied to the girl more so than the boy because of the fact that there's an immediate identification. So it doesn't mean that a woman's not happy having children. In fact, afterwards, after the 7 days, the 14 days, you know, she wants to be with her husband. She wants to have more children. But in the event of childbirth, when she's experiencing this feeling, this pain, so it's hard for her to feel the same sense of excitement and happiness. In fact, she applies the same, because of the fact that you identify with your children, she applies the same sense of inadequacy. And that feeling of inadequacy is applied to the girl more so than the boy because of the ability to identify with the child when it's born. Okay? So just to summarize the concept, hopefully the concept is clear. Just to summarize, I think if you go back to the Marsha is opening an avenue into the idea of the Klala, the curse of childbirth. And in the curse of childbirth, there is a positive and a negative. The positive of the curse of childbirth, of the pain of childbirth, is that it removes a woman's ability to fall into the trap of Chava, which was feeling, you know, high and mighty and feeling a sense of creative power that could lead to disastrous philosophical effects. But on the other hand, it also lends itself to a flaw, which is a feeling of, you know, being passive in childbirth and almost feeling inadequate, as if you're not even a participant and this is being done, you know, without your participation. So in that feeling comes this idea of Shavuos Bitoy, the desire not to have more children, and that is a flaw that is a result of the Klala, but is still a flaw that one brings a korban in order to fix, to help fix, and to help do tshuva for. And the other idea is that in childbirth itself, even after the childbirth, there is also the same sadness and the same depression. It exists even after the experience of the childbirth itself, and because there's an immediate identification with a child when it's born, the mother will automatically feel an identification of this pain onto the child, the girl child that's born, more so than the boy child. So this pain, this feeling of inadequacy, no one would want their child to feel the same way, but it's even more expressed on the girl because there's a greater source or sense of identification with the girl. Okay? So it's not about who's better, a boy or a girl. It's about the experience of childbirth and the emotions that emerge from childbirth and how the emotions of childbirth relate to a girl differently than they relate to a boy. Any questions? Anybody have any questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
So you're saying if it was just the physical pain, that would be enough to circumvent or to...
Yes, I think that the...
The pitfalls of what Chava felt?
Yeah, I don't think it's a physical pain. I think that a person can rise above a physical pain and can see beyond a physical pain. I mean, I haven't experienced the pain of childbirth, but I don't think it's the pain itself. I think it's the effect of the pain on how the woman feels about herself. That it takes away.
It's that, like, was not the full intention of the Klala. That's like a side effect of the Klala.
Well, the idea of the Klala. Yeah, that's what I would say.
Being a creator like God.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Meaning the idea of the Klala wasn't that it should produce this effect, but it is a natural. It's a natural outcome or a result of, you know, the Klala itself. The Klala is simply to remove the flaw, the possibility of the flaw of feeling a godlike power. But on the other hand, it leads into this flaw. And the Torah recognizes that. And the Torah...
Yeah, so you're saying, I'm just clarifying, that the physical pain would have been enough to remove that flaw of Chava.
Yes.
You're saying, right? Because I'm thinking that maybe she needed the psychological pain also in order to, you know, be a cure or whatever for that flaw of that Chava had.
It could be, but I don't. I mean, the Torah is not telling. I mean, it could be. I don't. It's a good point. But I don't think the Torah is telling. It's a good point. I mean, is the Torah actively creating this situation, or is this situation a natural result from the Klala? Really, the Klala was meant to simply remove through the tsar, through the physical pain, to remove the appreciation of the power, but it does result in this other effect. I don't know. It's a good question. But they're similar ideas. It's the same idea that a woman experiences that during not just the physical pain, but also the psychological pain. But also the Gemara is highlighting the fact that there's two pains. There's a pain in childbirth when it's actually happening, and then even after childbirth, when a woman reflects, she's still attached to the childbirth and she reflects on it. So it's also, she still remains in the same state. She feels the same state of inadequacy.
Continues. It's like a lengthening thing. It doesn't just go away after delivery.
Yeah.
But she reflects on it and still feels that way.
Yeah. And it's greater by a girl because of the fact.
It can cause postpartum depression. You think that's a.
I was talking to Tamar about this. I mean, obviously there's a physiological. I don't know if it's. I think everything's a common. There's a combination of many ideas in postpartum depression. I'm saying there's a psychological element to it, but it's also physiological for sure. And I think it's a combination of those. And there's also this is also a philosophical idea here in terms of preventing, you know, this idea of preventing a woman from feeling the creative power is also a philosophical idea because of the flaw that it creates. So it's a combination of all of them. That's what I believe. Okay. All right. Any other questions? Yeah.
Yeah, I have a question. This is the second time that you've brought up postpartum depression. I'm not sure exactly why, just because you're talking about childbirth and the reaction, psychological reaction to childbirth, that's in a normal way, whereas postpartum depression is not the norm.
Well, I don't know if it's... I mean, I think there's different degrees of postpartum depression. I'm saying that the Gemara is expressing that this exists in every woman. It may be that it's more profound in some women than other women, but I'm saying that there is a depression there. It just might be stronger in some women and less strong in other women. That's what I think.
I think they call it baby blues.
Baby blues.
That's more common.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
This is the depression that implies a pathological process, and you're talking about it. I don't think you're wrong about it. You're talking about a completely normal process.
Well, yeah, because I think that it's... I think that there's different degrees of baby blues, or there's different degrees of this depression, and it could be milder in some women, but I think it exists in every woman. I just think that it might be milder in some women and be more profound and more severe in other women. That's what I think. Okay? I don't know. I'm talking to all women here, so you guys can... I mean, you women can tell me what you experienced. Okay. Yeah, sure.
So, with having a girl, it's like a natural consequence that she has to be removed from God longer, so to speak, that she can't be, partake of the kutchen.
It's not a natural. Oh, the idea of the Dmei Tahara? That's a good question.
Why did it extend it? It's like God saying you can't come back too soon. You need longer.
Well, there's two ideas. There's Tumah. There's Tumah and Dmei Tahara. So the Tumah and the Tahara by a boy. Those two times are both shorter. But your question is on the Dmei Tahara time. I don't know the answer to that. That's a good question. I'm just addressing the Gemara, which is taking up the first part, the Dmei Tumah, when she's also to her husband. But it's a good question. Why by the Dmei Tahara, when she's really mutter to her husband, but she's just not allowed to eat hektish and go into the mikdash, why is it shorter by a boy than a girl? That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know the answer. But the Gemara is not addressing that aspect. It's only addressing...
what you're saying, I think, explains it. I'm just still grappling with it a little bit.
Well, it doesn't really explain that aspect, because I'm just talking about the first 7 days versus the first 14 days. But it seems like from the Gemara that after that point... The woman, she doesn't feel the same. She's willing. She wants to have more children, so she doesn't feel the same sense of sadness. So I don't know why beyond that it's different in terms of numbers. I'm not sure, but it's a good question. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Any other questions? Okay. So there's another halacha. I just wanted to take up a little bit of a halacha in the difference between having a boy and a girl. In the Gemara in Brachos, in number 11, source number 11, it says, V'chol heicha d'leis lacharina b'hade lo mevarach hatov v'hametiv. The Gemara says that there's a bracha of hatov v'hametiv, and you make the bracha of hatov v'hametiv when a good thing happens to you and somebody else. When something only happens to you, you make shechianu. When something happens to you and somebody else, you make hatov v'hametiv. The Gemara then says, V'atanya, did it not teach in a braisa, Amru le yalda ishto zachar, if they said to a husband, he's out of town, and they said, your wife gave birth to a boy, Omer baruch atov v'hametiv, you have to say baruch atov v'hametiv, and to kashya, because the Gemara's kashya is that it only applies to him. So hasam nami di'ika ishto bahade. So there too, when a son is born, so a woman is also happy, d'nichala b'zachar. She's happier with a zachar. So therefore, you make hatov v'hametiv. When a girl is born, you don't make hatov v'hametiv. There's a question, which we're going to take up next. Do you make a shechianu? But with a boy, you make hatov v'hametiv because it affects both the father and the mother. So this Gemara, I think, if it's attached, although it's in Brachos, if the idea in Nida can be applied to this Gemara in Brachos, it fits also. Because, see, the Gemara in Nida is only talking about quantitative. It's saying that the time period in which a woman feels the sadness over, you know, when she has a girl is longer than when she has a boy. But it's also an idea in qualitative happiness, that a woman, she feels a greater sense of happiness when she has a boy, because she doesn't have the same level of, you know, the same level, the same, identification about the klala and the tsar of leida by a boy. Therefore, she feels greater happiness than with a girl. And this is only in the immediate, because the bracha of atova meitiv is an immediate reaction bracha. It's not after, a month or a year. So the Gemara here, again, it's not focusing on whether a person ultimately will be happier with a girl or a boy. It's referring to the immediate emotions when childbirth occurs. So when, like, we shouldn't take out from the shir that it's whether that a person should have a different, ultimately after a year or two, that a person should have different emotions or different depression, different sadness vis-a-vis boy or girl. It's only in the immediate reaction to childbirth, when a woman is going through the trauma of childbirth, that these things occur. And that, so therefore, the halacha is, and that we make a different bracha for a boy because of the fact that a woman's able to experience a greater happiness of the boy because there isn't that identification of the tsar of leida by a boy, but there is by a girl. Now, what about, just the last point, what about shechianu? So here there's actually a machlokes achronim. When you have a girl, should you make shechianu or not? Before we do the machlokes in number 12, I didn't read on. It says, let's say in the Rama, he says, v'im mesa ishto b'leidasa mevarach shechianu, d'haleka atava l'acharini. I didn't read the Shulchan Aruch yet, but he brings down the same halacha. Sorry, yalda ishto zachar mevarach atova metiv. It's the same halacha as the Gemara. V'gam hit tzricha levarachin. The woman also has to make the same bracha because she experiences greater happiness with a boy. And if she dies, then the happiness is only applicable to the man, so he makes a shechianu instead of atov v'amitiv. So now there's just one more question. What do you do when a girl is born? Do you make a shechianu or not? And this is a machlokes achronim. The Aruch HaShulchan in number 13 maintains that you don't make a shechianu. If you go and you skip down to, hold on. He says, let me just read through. I guess we'll start from the top. Yalda ishto zachar mevarach atova meitiv, shezehu tova lo v'gam tova l'ishto, because it's a good for him and for his wife. Shegam hi ritzona yoser b'zachar. Okay, v'ein chiluk bein haya b'shas leida, oshi haya b'ir acheres, v'yigil lo hashmua. Doesn't matter whether he was there or he heard about it, mevarech. He makes hatov ha-metev. V'gam hi chayeves levarech hatov ha-metev. She also has to make the same bracha. Aval, b'leidas nekeva, ein mevarechin. By the birth of a girl, you don't make the bracha. Lefi she'ein ba'zeh simcha kolkach kevezachar, because you don't have the same level of simcha by a zachar. V'ein chilak bein kiyam periv rivya olo kiyam. It doesn't matter whether you're already mekayim pruervu or you want to have the girl in order to be mekayim pruervu. You don't make another bracha. Okay, so that's the shita of the Aruch HaShulchan. But Moshe Feinstein, he argues, and he actually quotes the Mishnah Berurah, and he says that definitely you should make a shechianu, because the Mishnah Berurah says that when you don't see a friend for 30 days and you're excited to see them, you make a shechianu. And the Mishnah Berurah says, even more so by the birth of a baby girl, that when you see a baby girl born, you're excited, there's an excitement, and the excitement produces the chiyav to say shechianu. And the Igros Moshe, or Moshe Feinstein, maintains that when you do see the birth of a baby girl, you should make a shechianu because of that excitement. So there's a machlokas achronim, whether or not you would make a shechianu on a girl, or you don't make a shechianu on a girl. And obviously, the idea of shechianu, as we said before, is only an idea when one person is happy. But when both are happy, you make atov v'ametiv. So who is this referring to? Who would make the shechianu? It would be the father. So what is the, I just want to understand a little bit deeper, what is the machlokes, whether the father makes a shechianu on the birth of a baby girl or not? Why would you say that the father makes a shechianu on the birth of a baby girl versus not making the shechianu on a baby girl? Because the mother definitely doesn't make a shechianu on the birth of a baby girl, because she doesn't feel that sense of happiness because of what we said before, that there's an identification with the girl and she identifies the tsar of leida with the girl, and it's hard for her to feel the same sense of happiness in the immediate sense. So what is the machlokes? So here I want to just propose a possibility. It's about men in general. So when men have children, they have a different reaction than women having children. So the Gemara describes a woman's reaction. But with a man, see, having children from a psychological standpoint, in the eyes of a man, is all about the man's ego. It's about man producing offspring that will reflect him and will there's an idea of like passing on the family name, and you know, there's an idea of pride in that concept, in that idea. So maybe the machlokas between the Zachar and the Nekeva, whether you should make Shechianu on the Nekeva, is a question. In the reality is that a man feels happier when a Zachar is born in the immediate sense, because he feels that sense of ego in the birth of the child, because the child is seen as an extension of himself, and he's seen as passing on the family name. All those emotions emerge. They don't emerge as much by a girl. So he's not as happy by a girl as he is by a boy. So relative to having a boy, he's not as happy. So maybe that's the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan is saying, in a relative framework, because he isn't as happy as having a boy, you don't make Shechianu. You only make Shechianu when in the same process you experience the ultimate happiness, which is having a boy. But maybe the Igros Moshe is saying the idea of Shechianu isn't an idea in relative. It's an idea in how you're feeling. You don't have to relate your happiness of having a girl to having a boy, but it's an idea objectively. Do you feel happy or do you not feel happy? And the idea is that there is an excitement in having a girl. It may be a different experience and a different emotion for a guy in having a girl or a boy, but that does exist in the immediate, and therefore you make Shechianu. So the question is Shechianu, I think, made over... Is it a relative idea that if you would feel happier if a boy was born and the emotions would be stronger, you therefore should not make Shechianu? You only make Shechianu on the greatest happiness? Or is the idea that you make Shechianu when you feel happy? And we don't relate it, or it's not a relative happiness. It's an idea in how you're experiencing the happiness and how you feel. So I think that's just a svara, an idea, a theory to explain the machlokas. But practically, I think the psak is more so like the Mishnah Berurah and the Igros Moshe, and I think it's more common that you make a Shechianu when a girl is born. Okay? So let me just summarize the shiur overall. So the shiur started with questions about the difference between the birth of a boy and a girl in terms of the toma of the woman who's giving birth. And for a boy, it's less time than a girl. And also, a woman has to bring a korban, according to the Torah, after she gives birth, as a kapara, as an atonement. The question is, there's two questions. One is, what is the difference between a boy and a girl? And the other question is, why do you have to bring a korban as an atonement? What did she do wrong? What's the flaw here? So the Gemara, it ties in the flaw of the woman to an idea of shvuas bitoy, that she makes an oath not to be with her husband because she doesn't want to have any more kids as a result of the tsar of Leda. And also, the difference between a boy and a girl is that with a boy, it only takes her 7 days before she regrets her oath and she wants to be with her husband again. But with a girl, it takes longer. So the question is, why? So then we looked at the Marsha, and the Marsha goes into the idea of the klala, the idea of the curse to woman, to a woman. And we explored the idea of the curse to a woman more so. We explained it on a deeper level. The curse of pain in childbirth is tied to preventing a woman from feeling a creative power that is dangerous. And the Torah mandated that there be a pain in childbirth in order to prevent this dangerous emotion from coming about. But on the other hand, it also leads a woman to feeling the opposite, to feeling, you know, a sadness and an inadequacy in childbirth, in the labor itself, and then even after childbirth. And the Gemara is expressing that by explaining that you bring a korban because this flaw of shvuas bitoy emerges from that idea, from the feeling of inadequacy. That's why a woman wouldn't want to have more children, because she feels like, you know, the child's being torn out of her and that she doesn't have control over it. And the other idea is that by a girl, when a girl is born, a mother identifies this pain with a girl because there's a natural identification, and the pain, the sorrow and the sadness of the baby blues, as I mentioned before, is apparent even after childbirth, and it's applied to the girl. And then the last idea was just halacha, the difference between atov v'ametiv for a boy, because we see that by a tov v'ametiv, it applies to both the husband and the mother, the father and the mother. But the mother doesn't experience the same happiness by a girl as a boy, naturally, emotionally. And the idea of Shechianu also is an idea in how a father relates to childbirth. That a father more so than a woman looks at a child, you know, as passing on the family name, as a signal of his ego. And we identify the machlokas of whether you make Shechianu by a girl versus not, as tying into that idea, into the emotions of the father when childbirth occurs. Okay? I hope that was clear. Does anybody have any questions? Any comments?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Halacha talk about multiples.
What do you mean by, oh, if you have multiple girls or?
Amount of time.
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that, but that's a good question. Very good question. I would think that you'd make one Shekhyanu, but I don't know. All right. Any other questions? All right. So everybody have a good Shabbos and have a good night. And next week.
Thank you. Have a good night, Coach.
Thank you.
Thank you.